KTY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
As always, we thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, last week, the United States Supreme Court allowed to go into effect the Texas Heartbeat Act, which bans abortion based on when a fetal heartbeat is detected. It was a 5-4 decision. Chief Justice John Roberts joined Justices Breyer, Sotomayor, and Kagan in opposition to this decision. Upholding the Texas law, Justices Thomas, Alito, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett. Does it come at any surprise that there are those in favor of abortion that are now advocating violence regarding this decision? And meanwhile, the chief executive of our land, the President of the United States, entrusted to uphold the Constitution of the United States, is so outraged that he is vowing the whole of government to respond in an effort to somehow stop the saving of these precious lives. Well, joining us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Brad Mattis, the president of Life Issues Institute. They are the pro-life grassroots partner of the Susan B. Anthony List Education Fund. Life Issues Institute, founded in 1991 to serve the educational needs of the pro-life movement. Brad is also host of the Life Issues, a daily radio commentary. Good to have you back with us here on Crosstalk.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's good to be here and to talk about some fun stuff.
Well, Brad, let's define. Tell us about this Texas law that actually was passed through the legislature, signed into law by the governor, and allowed to go into effect by the U.S. Supreme Court.
Yes, it's called the Heartbeat Act, and it would stop any abortion once a medical professional can detect a heartbeat in a doctor's office, which is right at the 6-week mark. Certainly by 8 weeks. The legislators in Texas had seen last year district attorneys throughout the country stating publicly that they would refuse to enforce pro-life laws, including the heartbeat law, if they passed. So they realized they needed to come up with something that could usurp that dereliction of duty, that they are committing across the country. So there are no criminal penalties in this law, and instead people, the average citizen, can file a civil lawsuit against anybody who violates the law. Primarily, of course, would be the abortionist. It might be the abortion center staff. It might be someone who gave her a ride to the abortion facility or coerced her or pressured her to having the abortion. And what this does is the civil lawsuit then will, if found guilty, then they will have to pay them at least $10,000 plus any court costs. So it's hitting the abortion industry where it hurts the most, in their pocketbook. And it circumvents the normal process that Planned Parenthood and the rest of the abortion industry would pursue to tie up these laws in court for many, many years.
Mm-hmm. What percent of abortions are done after the heartbeat begins?
We're hearing from the abortion industry in Texas anywhere from 85 to 90% are done after 6 weeks. So we are talking about a substantial number of babies saved. Based upon the number of abortions done in Texas by the most recent numbers we have, we're looking at saving anywhere from about 130 to 150 babies a day.
Wow.
And that is so exciting. We are literally seeing 130 to 150 babies saved a day. And in 5 years' time, that would be enough to populate a small Texas town of 8,000. It is just incredible the potential that this piece of legislation has.
Haven't other states attempted this before?
Yes, they have, but then they have had the traditional criminal penalty involved, and that is different. They have said, some of those states have said they're going to pursue moving forward that way.
Mm-hmm.
I believe all new legislation moving forward will include this civil penalty instead.
So this allows private citizens really then to get involved. Any private citizens?
That's right. Any private citizen who has evidence that the law was broken, you know, it's not going to be a lawsuit free-for-all. The intent is carefully and diligently worded so it can't be abused. But if the evidence is there, yes, an individual can file a lawsuit against an abortionist or the abortion mill or others involved in providing that abortion.
We're talking with Brad Mattis here today from Life Issues Institute. We're talking about this Texas Heartbeat Act that bans abortion based on when a fetal heartbeat is detected. This 5-4 decision, Brad, were you surprised by the 5-4 vote?
Sadly, not entirely. Chief Justice John Roberts is a bitter, bitter disappointment. We had very high expectations with him going in as nominated by George W. Bush. He, I believe, has given in to the temptation and lust for the social beltway activities that go on. We saw evidence of that with Anthony Kennedy also. He was tempted by the other side and caved. And it's been just very troubling to see such a process of. But then, you know, Jim, it's also evident of spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Abortion is Satan's, one of his favorite tools, and he is going to do all he can to make sure that abortion on demand stays the law of the land.
We're going to be taking a further look at some of the responses from this, but Brad, it was so sad and rather repulsive to realize that one of the largest abortion clinics in Texas, this is Whole Women's Health in Fort Worth, actually was rushing, I mean, people have used the term abortion mill, and exactly rushing to kill 67 babies within 17 hours ahead of this looming deadline that was approaching. This law went into effect at midnight, about every 15 minutes leading up to this. For 17 hours, a killing happened at the hands of one abortionist.
Yes, and when, you know, that treadmill type process or approach to what they call medicine or healthcare, it's just butchery is what it is. And when you go that fast and trying to cram in surgical procedures, the person that's going to pay the price besides the baby, of course, is the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And we wouldn't be surprised if we're made aware of situations where some of those women may have been maimed in the process. It is just absolutely a meat market. The bottom line is the dollar. It's blood money, and they're going to, as we saw an example, a very crude example of rushing in to get all the dollars into the coffers that they could before that law took effect.
Now, Brad, we talk about 85 to 90% of all abortions happening here after the detectable heartbeat here. And I know that the agencies like yours, organizations like Life Issues Institute, will not happen until it's 100% abortion-free across this land. That really is what your heartbeat is it not?
Oh, absolutely. This if this ruling holds, though, we will save 85 to 90% of all unborn babies
mm-hmm.
that have been sacrificed on that altar of choice. So this is a huge step forward, potentially. But absolutely, we will not quit until all babies' lives are protected from the moment of fertilization and all lives protected to natural death.
I'd like to play a clip from President Biden, who in a statement said he doesn't hold to life begins at conception. He disagrees with that. He respects those who hold to it, but he doesn't believe it. I'd like to hear the clip and have you comment. This is President Biden. This is shortly before he went down south to make his comments regarding Hurricane Ida. Let's listen in.
One question on abortion rights in Texas, sir. What would be your message to women in Texas, and what can your administration do to protect abortion rights on federal level?
I'm late for going down. I'm going to talk about these things from Louisiana. But I have been, continue to be, a strong supporter of Roe v. Wade. Number one. And the most pernicious thing about the Texas law, it sort of creates a vigilante system where people get rewards to go out to, anyway. And it just seems, I know this sounds ridiculous, almost un-American, what we're talking about. Not to debate about, I respect people who think that, who don't support Roe v. Wade. I respect their views. I respect them, those who believe life begins at the moment of conception and all. I respect that. Don't agree, but I respect that. I'm not going to impose that on people. But what I was told, and I must tell you, I am not certain. I was told that there are possibilities within the existing law to have the Justice Department look and see whether are there things that can be done that can limit the independent action of individuals in enforcing a federal system, a state law. I don't know enough to give you an answer yet. I've asked that to be checked. Thank you all very much.
Okay, so then he went off at that point. Brad, there's a lot to break down from this, but your overall comments to what you heard.
Well, it's flat earth science and flat earth medicine is what he's practicing there. It's ridiculous for him to say he doesn't agree that life begins at the moment of conception or fertilization. Now, there's a such thing, it's called the Carnegie stages of human embryonic development. This was established as fact in 1942. It's the scientific gold standard that we use to determine when life begins. This is so exact that the Carnegie stages are internationally required to be used in professionally written textbooks and written by human embryologists. They have to use these Carnegie stages because they are so precise. And what they state about the when human life begins, but this is a quote, they state that life begins at first contact of the egg and the sperm. So at first contact, you have an actual human being, not a possible human being. And it couldn't be more plain than that. And we have science that has proven that for decades. It is unassailable science, and for him to say that he doesn't know when life begins or disagrees with our assessment it begins at conception is either the man is lying or he's in a daze, and that is standard for the way he's been conducting himself all this time as president.
You know, Brad, and I know there's other aspects of this, but on that point, I mean, how often have we heard him say, I follow the science, you know, so-called man-made global climate change, got to follow the science, COVID, and all the issues and the, you know, the masking and double masking and get the first shot, second shot, third shot, et cetera, follow the science. We keep hearing that from him, but mm-hmm. when it comes to life itself, I mean, which is unrefutably science, that he is outright denying.
And since Roe v. Wade was determined in 1973, they have come so far with technology and ultrasound, windows to the womb. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt that life begins at conception.
We're going to pick up with more, breaking down more of those comments from President Biden and his reaction. He is outraged that we're not killing babies past their detectable heartbeat in the state of Texas. We'll have more information following the break. Brad Mattis with us from Life Issues Institute. Stay with us. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast are the continents eroding?
Chris, the answer to this question might surprise you. We know the volume of the continents above sea level. When rain falls on the continents, it erodes them grain by grain, and we can measure how much solid material is in the water as it finally reaches the ocean. As it turns out, the continents are eroding at such a rapid rate, they'll all be gone in 14 million years. But according to evolution, the continents are hundreds of millions of years old. Yet they're eroding so fast that they're not going to last. Something is wrong with that millions of years picture. The measurements we make are much more in line with the creation flood young earth account. The continents don't fit the evolution idea, but they do fit the back to Genesis idea.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is with us today from the Life Issues Institute. And yes, the Texas heartbeat law stands. We're talking about it, what it says, its ramifications. We were just listening to a quote from President Biden afterwards. Brad Mattis with us from the Life Issues Institute. President Biden's outraged. He's going to employ the whole of government to respond to this somehow. Brad, just breaking his statement apart just a little bit further, he referred to this as being un-American. What would be more American than saving the lives of another American? I guess, you know, we will leave them behind in other locations, but he called this un-American?
Yes, the fact that so many babies will be spared the brutal and violent, painful act of abortion. The fact that their mothers will be spared the often emotional anguish that follows abortion. Frequently, they too suffer physical ramifications because of abortion, and that is called un-American. We know that the Bible warns about calling good evil and evil good, and this is certainly a prime example of that.
It really is. And also, he called this a vigilante system. Your response to that?
Oh, that angers me. And he knows that's not the case, or at least the people around him know that. State Senator Brian Hughes, addressed this issue very specifically. He said that the intent requirement regarding that penalty phase is very specific, which means that you couldn't have a vigilante process, that you have to have evidence and information that supports that accusation to file that suit. So that is just totally hyperbole, political, trying to get us off track. It will not be a vigilante process. It will be very much a law-abiding, respectful of the Constitution and the laws of the state, something that the Biden administration is not very well known about.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get to the other part here dealing with the Justice Department in a moment, but in another statement, not only he, but the left keeps referring to this as the constitutional rights of abortion, and President Biden said this ruling would unleash unconstitutional chaos. Now, Brad, I've read through the Constitution. I don't see abortion listed there. I really don't believe that the founders even envisioned a time that a society would execute the most vulnerable among us.
No, they wouldn't. A lot of those fathers of our nation were very Christian, law-abiding people, and they would have never considered abortion to be part of that. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who was a self-described abortion activist with the ACLU, was very outspoken against Roe because it pulled the right to abortion out of thin air. It stopped the ongoing discussion that Americans were having on the abortion issue, and it was not defendable. And so she was often an outspoken critic of Roe for those reasons.
So looking also at the statement that President Biden made there, he is vowing the whole of government to fight this, and he talked about engaging the Justice Department, and just on, I think it was Sunday, the Justice Department announced it was going to provide support from federal law enforcement to any Texas abortion clinic facing an attack. We have the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, issuing this notice assuring women that the Justice Department was going to provide them assistance. Sunday, they indicated they were putting the best lawyers at the Justice Department to look for legal remedies for this. They're really pulling out all the stops to try and engage the Justice Department to somehow stop this from taking effect.
Yes, they're grasping at straws. But as we know from experience fairly recently, I don't trust the Justice Department, and many of our listeners don't either, of what they will do. They're trying to couch this, Jim, as some sort of violent, evil action against these abortion mills. And it's none of that is going to be reality at all. It is going to be by law-abiding citizens who have evidence to bring forth a lawsuit against whomever is associated with an illegal abortion. If they don't break the law, there will be no activity to even talk about, because no lawsuit will be filed. So all they have to do is obey the law, and everything will be just fine. But for them to couch it as, you know, they've often couched us pro-lifers as radicals and violent, and that is, they're laying the groundwork for that same sentiment to build upon, to make us look bad and the abortion industry to be this victim, this unjustice victim of pro-life vigilantism.
Now, you use the term grabbing at straws, and I'm going to share one of those straws with you. The Attorney General, Merrick Garland, who nearly was a U.S. Supreme Court justice, is seeking to use the FACE Act to stop this. What is the FACE Act, and does that apply to this situation?
Well, it does not. It doesn't even come close to applying to that. The FACE Act was written to stop Operation Rescue people who were sitting in front of abortion facilities, doing so very peacefully, but working as a physical barrier between the pregnant women and the abortionist. And it was also designed to counteract the bombings and burnings that happened at abortion facilities way back when, that we haven't seen, thankfully, for a long time. That all addresses the Freedom of Access to Clinic Inferences Act, addresses those types of illegal, violent activity, and has no place to be even introduced in the context of the Heartbeat Act from Texas.
I'd like to play another audio clip. This one is of the President's Press Secretary, Jen Psaki. And she was holding her press conference, her daily briefing, and actually was approached in questioning by a reporter. I believe this is a reporter from EWTN, but let's listen to that exchange here.
On the census law, why does the president support abortion when his own Catholic faith teaches abortion is morally wrong?
He believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
Why does the president, who does he believe in, should look out for the unborn child?
He believes that it's up to a woman to make those decisions, and up to a woman to make those decisions with her doctor. I know you've never faced those choices, nor have you ever been pregnant, but for women out there who have faced those choices, this is an incredibly difficult thing. The president believes their rights should be respected. Go ahead. I think we got to move on. I think we have to move on. You've had plenty of time today.
Yeah, there's 35 seconds. Brad, she is clearly frustrated with this.
Yes, of course. They're behind the eight ball because there's really not a whole lot that they can do legally to undo what the Supreme Court has done. It was interesting to hear her talk about abortion as her body, her choice. See, and that's the thing where they're ignoring science and medicine as it relates to reality. They're practicing their own flat earth science and medicine, because that baby is not her body. It's a distinctly individual being inside her that is growing day by day. The DNA is different from that of the mother. The blood type is probably different than that of the mother. It is not her body. And another thing that really got me angry about this exchange was her blatantly sexist approach to the abortion issue. She insinuated that just because he was a man, he had no right to be concerned for the welfare of unborn babies and their mothers. But the reality is you can't get pregnant without the guy. The guy is part of the process, and he has a right to be involved in that life or death decision. And bring it back to the question is, why is the president so rabidly pro-abortion when his own church doctrine says the exact opposite, right, that it is a grave sin?
Well, I'd like to also echo a comment then from the Vice President, Kamala Harris. She is also outraged at this and said this: the Biden-Harris administration will always fight to protect access to health care and defend a woman's right to make a decision about her body and determine her future. This all-out assault on reproductive health effectively bans abortion for the nearly 7 million Texans of reproductive age. Patients in Texas will now be forced to travel out of state or carry their pregnancy to term against their will. Here often we hear it from her, we hear it from others. They talk about this access to health care. Is abortion health care?
No, it's not. It's a violent crime against humanity. Babies are torn limb from limb, and worse. There's no way they can couch that as health care. Health care nurtures and saves life and protects life. Abortion intentionally kills life. And, you know, you've mentioned how they are so upset. I've learned from experience, Jim, that the more they scream, the more they holler, is an indication that we're on the right track, that we're victorious, and we need to keep going in that direction, which we will.
Brad Mattis with us today from Life Issues Institute. Brad, I'd like to also talk about Congress here for just a bit. Nancy Pelosi, I mean, she also is outraged, and right now the lawmakers are on recess. We understand they're returning somewhere around September 20th, but she is promising to bring up some radical pro-abortion legislation that would, in essence, invalidate basically all pro-life laws that protect mothers and unborn babies across the nation. She clearly has this in her crosshairs.
Oh, certainly so. And we've seen evidence of this legislation before. What it would do is wipe out totally any pro-life law in any state. It would also require that the state has to come to the Department of Justice hat in hand, begging them to allow them to pass pro-life legislation. They have to get their approval before the state can pass any legislation that would protect women and their babies. And as you know, the head of the Department of Justice came so close to being on the Supreme Court, it sends a chill up my spine when I read some of the things he's saying. And this is what they want to do. They want to put the future of millions of babies and women and men into the hands of people like that at the Department of Justice.
They're very concerned about other states copycatting this. I mean, they've been very vocal about that aspect, worried. I mean, we've got to nip this in the bud, or other states are going to do the same thing. They just might want to protect their unborn, too.
Yes, and my governor, Ron DeSantis, has publicly said that Jesse is going to consider passing that legislation. I think that is a great idea. We're going to be having conversations with him to encourage that to take place. They are very afraid that this is going to catch on and legislation is going to be passed. But they should expect that, because the last several years, scores of pro-life laws have been introduced, many of them passed and signed into law. They know what's coming down the pike. They're on the wrong side of history. They're on the wrong side of science and medicine. They're on the wrong side of ethics. And any Catholic or Christian faith whatsoever, they are just on the wrong side, period. And everything is beginning to close down on them, and the momentum is against them, and they are desperate to try to hold on to abortion on demand throughout pregnancy for any reason.
Well, friends, next month, the U.S. Supreme Court is going to be picking up an abortion case. We'll be talking about that and a couple other issues here in this next segment. Brad Mattis with us. From the Life Issues Institute, we will also be giving their web contact information as well, so stay informed. You are listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. James 4:14 poses this thought: "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Have you ever stopped to consider where you will spend eternity? You may say, "But I'm a good person. I care for my family. I feed the poor. I stand up for life and traditional values." While all of these things are good, they fall far short of God's standard. Every one of us has a sin issue that must be dealt with. Our sin separates us from God, and each of us deserves to be eternally removed from God in everlasting punishment. But out of God's great love, He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins, shed His blood, die on the cross, and rise again. He is the only way of salvation, and it's imperative for you to place your trust in Him. If you're wrestling with this issue, we'd like to send you a complimentary leaflet, "Where Will You Spend Eternity?" To receive a copy, just ask for it when you call us at 1-800-729-9829. 800-729-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis with us today from Life Issues Institute. Brad, I know you've got lots and lots and lots of resources available on your website addressing not only this but other issues and measures to help protect life from conception until natural death.
Yes, we've got lots, as you say. It's very user-friendly. And I encourage everybody to go to our website at lifeissues.org. lifeissues.org. I do a weekly blog that is free for you to subscribe to, and we like to cover information that you're probably not hearing anywhere else. So go to lifeissues.org, get connected, and if you still have questions, let us know because we'll find the answers.
Brad, something that's so disturbing. I mean, so we've got President Biden speaking against this. We've got the Vice President of the United States. We've got the U.S. Attorney General. We have the Speaker of the House and many, 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 many others. But I saw also joining them. I mean, they're all forming a kinship with the Satanic Temple that has also condemned this and does not want to see this ban continue. They view abortion as being a sacrament, this abortive act that they call it. When you see the Satanic Temple joining arm to arm with the President, Vice President, Attorney General, and the Speaker of the House, that speaks volumes.
Yes, and, you know, an organization like that is so fringe, so vile and disgusting and appalling. They're trying to hitch their wagon to abortion, and when you think you're trying to hitch it to something so vile in itself, it just shows how low you are on the totem pole. But there have been discussions about having women perform late-term abortions in a clinic after hours and then sacrificing that child. What we have heard and read is just appalling. And for them to want to be part of that, it just shows how vile that Satan will stoop so low to keep abortion free and out there.
And technology companies are jumping on board as well, Brad. I think a GoDaddy shutting down the pro-life group's abortion tracking website.
Yes. They're following the lead of Facebook and Twitter and those who are censoring the truth and censoring comments that they disagree with. And, yes, the Lyft company that gives rides, mm-hmm. as well as Uber, they are offering to pay for all of the legal costs if any of their drivers are sued for driving somebody to an abortion facility. I don't think that's probably going to happen based upon how the law is written, but they are making a big PR about that. And Uber also has sent $1 million to Planned Parenthood. So Lyft. Lyft is sending $1 million donation to Planned Parenthood. They seem to think that they're on the right side of history and the right side of business. And I think they're going to find that they've made a terrible choice down the road. GoDaddy, of course, kicked ProLifeWhistleblower.com off their domain. This is owned by the pro-life organization Texas Right to Life, and it's a mechanism by which people can file a claim or bring up issues where there seem to be a violation of the law. And so instead of letting that play out and seeing justice prevail, they are taking, of course, the same path just to try to silence the opposition. And there are other companies, you know, that are matchmaking companies that have decided to do the same thing. It's just appalling.
I'm looking also tomorrow, Wednesday, Portland City Council is setting to vote on a proposal to ban trading goods and services with Texas over this issue.
Yes, any state employee will not be able to fly to Texas or participate in any business of any kind. We saw some of the states doing that in the past also. with Georgia when they passed legislation. I don't think it's anything that will materialize to make much difference in the scheme of things, but it just shows how radical and extreme these organizations, individuals, and branches of governments have gotten.
We need to also mention another matter that's being looked at legislatively, and Brad, I know this has been a topic of discussion we've had before, especially with the changeover president, but the Judiciary Act of 2021, it's H.R. 2584, is legislation that has renewed interest now on the part of legislators to increase the number of justices on the U.S. Supreme Court from 9 to 13 to pack the court or stack the court with those who would uphold forever the likes of Roe v. Wade. And this is also a tactic that is considering to be used by the Senate Majority Leader as well as the House Speaker in order to combat this.
Yes, and these, of course, calls for packing the court, the Supreme Court, have been renewed again with this most recent ruling. Again, it's we'll do whatever it takes to get the result we want, and it doesn't matter what you do to the nation or the laws or our Constitution. The end justifies the means in this case. And the Supreme Court members themselves are opposed to this. Ruth Bader Ginsburg thought it was a terrible idea. And, but, you know, I wouldn't put anything past them. We have to take all of these threats seriously.
Yes, indeed. Well, we do know, Brad, next month the U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing another abortion case. Tell us what's happening.
Oh, that's a good situation there, too. And that's Mississippi passed with bipartisan support a law that would end abortion at 15 weeks. It's the Dobbs late-term abortion case is what we're calling it. And the big question before the Supreme Court is whether or not the states can protect the babies prior to viability. Now, viability isn't a determination of humanity. It's just a marker by which man can measure the ability to keep life alive outside of the womb. And that so far is about 22 weeks. We have a few rare cases where babies lived at 21 weeks, but it's dropping lower and lower. And the appellate court, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, ruled it unconstitutional, probably from the point of view of Roe overruling what they would normally say. But the Supreme Court took the case, and that's a good indication. It indicates that they have a different answer to that problem that did not come out in the ruling of the appellate court. So both sides are expecting a positive ruling for life. How far they'll take it, we just don't know. When you consider the ruling that they've made on the heartbeat bill, you know, we're encouraged that this could be the beginning of the end for Roe v. Wade.
Brad Mattis with us today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, if you have a question or a brief comment, our number 800-733-9829, 1-800-733-9829. Last week, the United States Supreme Court allowed to go into effect this Texas Heartbeat Act that bans abortion based on when a fetal heartbeat is detected. A 5-4 decision, this would stop abortions from taking place after the very early weeks of pregnancy, and it would save somewhere between 85% to 90% of all abortions here in Texas and then in other states as well. And, Brad, I know they're very, very concerned, as we mentioned, about copycat states who are going to also try and you know, do what Texas has done here. And this is where people across this nation can really get engaged with their individual states that said, you know, let us do what Texas did.
Yes, and that's a good point, because the grassroots is where the pro-life movement thrives the most, where elected legislators, state attorney generals, governors are all more directly accountable to their voters and more directly do their bidding as the voters are the ones who are their bosses. And so that's where we're seeing a lot of states who are chomping at the bit, wanting to do more, for babies and their mothers than they have been allowed to do so far. And they are very encouraged by what they've seen. And I think we're going to see an uptick, considerably significant uptick of legislation passed, thinking that now, finally, the Supreme Court may allow states to protect their most vulnerable citizen, that being unborn babies. One thing about the case on the heartbeat bill is normally if the Supreme Court thought they wouldn't differ from the lower court appeal, they probably wouldn't have allowed that law to be in effect. But it's an indication that they have something different to say about the heartbeat bill and abortion in general. So the fact that they've allowed it to go into effect is a very positive indicator that some good could be coming out of the final determination, whether it's a full acceptance of the heartbeat bill or something lesser.
And friends, this is not an end-all by any means. It is not an end-all, but we want to see all abortion stopped across this land. It is a step that Texas has taken at this time. I know others have put forth legislation to completely ban all abortion. Certainly, we applaud that. We would like to see that happen here all across this land. We have never seen this get to this point, and this is our topic here today with Brad Mattis. Randy is calling from Tomah, Wisconsin. Randy, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello, Jim and Brad. I'm with the John Birch Society, and, the one sad thing is that, in Article 1, Section 1, Clause 1, it makes it clear that there's, the legislative branch, is the only one, the Senate and the House of Representatives that can make laws, not the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
So the rightful remedy, as Thomas Jefferson said, is nullification, which is the 10th Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
If states would just have a state legislature, which they should do, to say this is null and void, it was made by the Supreme Court, they cannot make law, it could all be over quite quickly.
Thank you, Randy.
It should be.
Thank you, Randy. Brad, your comment.
Well, yes, if we had a lot of elected officials with enough backbone to face this down and demand that justice prevail, we would have those victories. But unfortunately, we don't have enough of those strong-willed elected officials.
Yeah, who want to really abide by the Constitution. Terry and Racine, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I hear a lot of talk about defining when abortion is and is not legal, and we keep going back and forth on that. I don't recall ever hearing anyone anywhere make a move for a constitutional amendment at the federal and or state level defining that personhood and all the rights and protections attendant thereto attach at the moment of fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that such an amendment at the constitutional level would render the abortion debate moot.
Thank you for that, Terry, and we're right up against a break, so the personhood amendment, I'm going to have Brad address that right after the break here, so stand by for his response. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is with us, and his website, lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org. So what about that personhood amendment? Well, we'll talk about that following the break here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Recently, I was thinking about what Jesus said in John 10:10. The thief has come to steal, destroy, and kill. The context is false teachers. But yet, my friends, the world is filled with false teachers, and they don't have to come into the church. They can be doctors. They can be so-called medical experts. They can be government people, globalists, who actually have a religion, the religion of pantheism, all is God, or panentheism, God is in all, a religion of occultism, or New Age. These are false prophets. And what are they doing today? They're killing. Abortion on demand, quote, a vaccine that's killing people. They're killing the dollar. They're killing small businesses. They're killing our country by opening our borders up to Islamists who want to kill us. Are we shocked that these people who serve Satan are out to kill, destroy, and steal? I'm Brandon House.
Well, the Texas Heartbeat Act stands, and we heard the affirmation from the court last week on that. Brad Mattis, the caller, said, what about just declaring, you know, having a personhood amendment and putting a stop for this once and for all?
Yes, that is the ultimate goal that we all want to achieve. Sadly and unfortunately, we're not there yet with the general public or those elected to office. And this, we believe, these recent developments will really turn people's hearts, help them to understand the sky isn't going to fall if Roe v. Wade goes away, and then we can take it from that platform that has been established to work on person.
So it would take a majority of legislators to have the backbone to pass a personhood amendment for this to happen.
Yeah, you've got to have your two-thirds to vote that out of Congress. And then two-thirds of the states have to support it also. And that support just isn't there. I wish it was, but until it is, we'll have to work on things to a lesser degree to build up to that.
Our next caller is Star from Muscadet, and you're on the air, Star.
Hi. I just want to ask, what happened, you know, where are these women that are getting the abortions? Don't they know about contraceptives? I mean, there's all different things out there. There's the pill, there's IUDs, there's all that. And then there's families that want to adopt children that other people don't want.
I'm going to have Brad comment on this, Star, because she talked about all these forms of contraception. Some of these are ones that cause abortions, Brad.
Yes, any chemical or hormonal contraception has an abortifacient aspect to it. They're designed to prevent ovulation, prevent the sperm from reaching that egg, and then the third mechanism is if we have a tiny developing embryo, fertilization has taken place, then it makes the endometrium or lining of the uterus hostile to the baby, and that's a very early abortion. We have found research shows from the Guttmacher Institute, which is very pro-abortion, they have found that half almost of women are relying on abortion as a means of birth control. Mm. I've talked to women who have had 7, 8, or 9 abortions, sadly.
My. Thank you, Star. Brad, for those who'd like more information, we don't have time to go in great detail at this point, but do you have more info on your website on this topic?
Oh, absolutely. Look under abortifacients, and you will get all the information you need. If you're still looking for something, reach out, and we'll be happy to help you.
Great. You'll find their phone number there as well. Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless you, saints out there. I just want to read one verse in Jeremiah chapter 1. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. I'm going to leave it right there.
Hmm.
Why are you going to destroy something that God put in you?
Yeah.
He made it. And if he put it in you, he can take care of that baby. Star said the right thing. If you can't take care of it, put him or her up for adoption. I can always hear my son's voice saying, Daddy, that first time he calls you baby, your daddy, or my daughter, Daddy, is that daddy at the door, Mommy? You're missing a whole lot. And if you don't want a baby, there's one way to do it that a preacher said one time. Keep your knees together, ladies, because these men don't want nothing of you but to sample you. That's all. God bless you and stay in the Lord.
Thank you, Courtney, for your thoughts. And, Brad, we often have to remind listeners that there are many homes that are willing to adopt, and adoption is a loving option.
That is absolutely true. Unfortunately, the abortion industry has been trashing adoption, giving a lot of attention to those cases where they didn't turn out well. And we have a lot of women who face an unexpected pregnancy but have been brainwashed into thinking that placing a child for adoption is less humane than choosing abortion for them to end their life.
Richland, Washington. Guy, you're on the air.
Hello. I just wanted to say I'm all about this new law because it gives some men, you know, like myself, that their children were killed and they had no say about it, and it gives them some room to stand. So thank you.
Thank you. What about that point, Brad?
Yes, that's true. We want to work men back into the equation so that they have some skin in the game, that they have some rights when it comes to those life and death situations. If I understood you right, you are the father of a child who was lost to abortion. We have a website designed exclusively for men. It's menandabortion.net, menandabortion.net, and you will find resources that will help you when you are working to deal with the grief and the shame that comes along with abortion.
John is our next caller. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. One of your callers mentioned an amendment process. One thing your guest didn't mention was Article 5 of the Constitution allows a second way to amend the Constitution. And that's you can go around Congress and just through the states and the people. It's called a convention of the states. You don't have to go have Congress's approval. The states can pass it, and they don't need their governor's approval.
Thank you, John. And again, that's another topic, another day here. I know there's been both in favor and against such an approach there because of ramifications, but thank you for raising that. And Brad in West Dallas, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. Your guest mentioned how that the sky will not fall if Roe v. Wade goes away, and I most heartily agree. In fact, I'll go farther than that. It's going to fall if it doesn't go away. The Lord Jesus Christ is only going to put up with this for so long. Look what happened to ancient Israel. They were burning their babies alive in the Valley of Hinnom, pounding those drums to drown out the screams. Well, the screams are drowned out now, too, because they're inside the womb. And the same thing could happen to us. It happened to them. They were defeated and dispersed worldwide. And it was not a good thing. It was not a fun time in Jerusalem when the Babylonians sieged that city.
Thank you, Brad. Brad, we're down to less than 30 seconds here. I want you to take a moment, though, here just to comment on the importance of prayer in such a time as this.
Yes. As I mentioned, that abortion is one of Satan's most powerful tools. We need desperately to keep everybody involved with these Supreme Court cases in prayer. Keep the justices in your prayer, those who are on the state level battling for justice and life, and for legislators and governors who are going to be looking at more pro-life legislation. We must pray without ceasing because the time really demands it.
Brad, thank you for being with us today and helping to educate this nation on life versus death.
Thank you, Jim.
Again, Brad Mattis from Life Issues Institute, their website, lifeissues.org. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.